Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now our guest is Dr. Matt Spaulding of Hillsdale College, specifically the Washington, D.C. chapter thereof. We're going to talk about a recent incident since Dr. Spaulding is the editor of a gigantic book from Heritage Foundation called The Heritage Guide to the Constitution, and it deals with a recent incident where a congressional chaplain was fired. And some say it was because of the contents of one of his prayers. And let's get right into it. Dr. Spaulding, great to have you back on the program.
Good to be with you, Jerry.
You know, it may be surprising to some, and we'll get, into the firing in just a moment, but it may be surprising to some to even think about the fact that in the United States of America, where there's this, you know, constant drummed-in view that, oh, there's a separation of church and state, that our founding fathers set up chaplains, not only in the military, but also in our legislatures.
I think this is a great example, and one reason why I'm interested in writing about this and discussing it is that it's a great example of the extent to which there actually are a lot of things like this in American government that don't violate the separation of church and state. And once again, it's an opportunity to get a proper public understanding of what that means and what it does mean. It's probably one of the most confused terms, legal terms, in how we understand, you know, the life of our republic, that somehow religion and politics are so separated that they never would touch each other, which wasn't what the founders intended. They separated, you know, church doctrine and law. Right, the Congress can't write church doctrine, and church doctrine doesn't pass the laws. But having said that, they allowed for a certain mixing, and the example here is of a chaplain, and there's a chaplain in the House, there's a chaplain in the Senate. They open the sessions, they do other ceremonial activities. Is a perfect example of that. This was not only allowed but encouraged by the founders, and the Constitution is meant, the First Amendment is meant to allow for these kinds of activities.
In fact, there was a Supreme Court decision of a few years ago. It was related to town councils, but they hearkened back to the legislative chaplain in the colonial era. Here's what happened. When town councils meet, are they allowed to pray in the name of Jesus if they have a prayer? And ultimately, the Supreme Court decided 5-4, yes, because look at this example. Before we were even a country, the Continental Congress in September 1774, they have this lengthy prayer, and it's, you know, closed in the name of Jesus. I mean, the whole thing is it was presented by a Christian clergyman, Jacob Duché, you know, et cetera. And so, anyway, I find that very, very interesting. And just real fast before we get right into the firing, the recent firing, what did the founders mean when they said Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion?
Well, so remember, there are two sides to the First Amendment dealing with religion. There's the Establishment Clause, which you just quoted, and the Free Exercise Clause. And, you know, we are all guaranteed the free exercise of religion. These are kind of two sides of the same coin. But, you know, up until, you know, relatively recently, in the 20th century, those were pretty much kind of worked out to mean that on the one hand, Congress should not recognize a national church. Recall, there were state establishments historically for some time.
Right.
Those weren't an issue here. That Congress should not establish a formal national church. It should stay out of that. But it also should, which was very clear, but a minimal thing, and give as much room as possible to free exercise. That was the balance. Today, we've flipped it all around, where establishment means anything and everything touching religion. You can't do anything. And free exercise is becoming a smaller and smaller little box for religious believers. So it's really been turned on its head. But establishment wasn't meant to expunge religion from public life.
All right. So what happened recently?
Well, it's not completely clear, I should say, but for the first time, a chaplain has been asked to step down by the current outgoing speaker, Paul Ryan, who is Catholic, asked a Catholic chaplain to step down from the chaplaincy of the House. It's not completely clear why that was the case, the best answer, or at least the clearest statement, that this was for he wasn't meeting the pastoral needs of the members. It might have had something to do with his maybe advocating some things or being a little more political. That's maybe some more of that will come out. But in some extent, it's not clear. What worries me, since this is the first time that this has happened
in our history,
in the history of chaplains going back to the first one in 1789, an official chaplain of the house.
Yeah.
What worries me is that this is now going to be used for a different kind of argument, which is that the one side who doesn't like this kind of activity is united. And then the other side, since this is a Republican Catholic who has asked a Catholic to step down, This has now created all this other turmoil about, well, who should be chaplains and what kind of chaplain should we have and what's going on here. And so now step into the debate some who are calling for, well, why don't we just abolish the office of chaplain? It really violates the separation of church and state, and we don't need one anymore anyway. So the immediate thing was this particular chaplain was asked to step down. We don't have all the details. Perhaps more will come out, perhaps not. But what it's caused a bigger debate, which I think is going to build up, which is, why don't we just get rid of it?
Wow. Yeah, but, look, the founders are the ones who insisted on this. I mean, just take the example of George Washington and the military chaplains. When he first read the Declaration of Independence, he said, all right, that's it. We're an independent country. And he systematically instituted chaplains everywhere. I mean, there were chaplains before that, but he made it very systematic and, said this is how much they should be paid and people will be expected to go to divine service unless, a war or battle or whatever prevents you otherwise. So, again, this is very, very deeply rooted in our nation's history, even before we became a nation. Now, one of the things I read was that the father, Conroy, Patrick J. Conroy, that's the man in question, the congressional chaplain, that he had said a prayer, and it was around the time of the tax cuts, and some people viewed it as a way of almost chiding the Republicans along the lines of, don't be unfair to the little guy that might get hurt through these tax cuts.
There very well might have been some of that. I know that Speaker Ryan has long wanted to be more serious about chaplains. That is, he wants them to do actual chaplain work. And I think sometimes, in the past too, not just this individual, they have sometimes been prone to make statements which kind of cross a political line. And that's not the kind of chaplain you want, because you don't want them to be taken in by Republicans or Democrats, right? You don't want them to have a position on various questions. And there are many, as you know, that raise religious questions. You want them to be true to their own faith, but their duty here, their public role, is to be a chaplain for the Congress, which means they, whatever religion they are, they do have an obligation. If you go back and look at those older chaplains at the time of the founding, right, they tend to be, broad, non-denominational, but clearly recognize a higher power, something outside ourselves, a divine guide which we should appeal to, and that's what we want. That's, I think, what is wanted here, and I think as a nation, that's what we should want to continue. And perhaps if this episode serves a purpose, I hope it serves a purpose that the chaplains shouldn't become politicized. One fear you can imagine what if there were a chaplain appointed by the Republicans and another chaplain appointed by the Democrats, right? That's what you do for committees and things. Well, that would kind of destroy the purpose.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm not happy with this precedent, and it'd be interesting to know exactly what Mr. Ryan was thinking. Are there any direct common statements he's made other than that I don't think he was fulfilling his chaplain duties?
Not that I know. He's made reference to the pastoral needs. He's talked to his caucus. But as far as I know, there's not been I've not seen an official statement of his reasoning. But the chaplain does serve at the discretion of the speaker. We do know that. So if a line was crossed, my preference actually would have been to not make it into a big public occasion. And perhaps, you know, it's not necessarily that surprising this has occurred.
Right? Yeah.
There are, you know, over the course of time, there's bound to be someone who perhaps crosses the line a little bit. The fact that it's a you know, a Jesuit priest and the speaker's Catholic is a coincidence, but that to some extent actually doesn't surprise me that much,
yeah.
Being Catholic myself. But the point is that, you know, the purpose here in the office is so crucially important. If anything, I've got a article I've just written about this. If anything, I pointed out that perhaps they should have more chaplains rather than few. Perhaps maybe they have, rather than having one, there should be several. If the purpose here is to encourage, to give congressmen the pastoral needs what they need, because they're in a high pressure situation in which there are lots of temptations.
Yeah.
But also encourage them to appeal to the better angels of their nature, as Lincoln said.
Yeah.
Maybe we ought to have more chaplains. And maybe we have chaplains of different denominations based on the denominations of the members of Congress.
What? How long has Patrick Conroy been the chaplain of the House? About
they serve terms, and they usually
okay.
You know, they just go with the Congress. So we're kind of in between. We're in the middle of a Congress. So I think he's halfway through his term. And so they rotate. I think they can get reappointed, but they generally rotate ever so often.
Okay. And, you know, it's funny. I don't even know who the chaplain of the Senate is at present. There was one chaplain to the, no, there's a couple of chaplains to the Senate that were kind of famous. One was a man called Peter Marshall. That goes back to the 50s. But I mean, his wife wrote books and they even made a movie about him, A Man Called Peter, who came
right.
from Scotland. And then there was also, Lloyd Ogilvy from Hollywood Presbyterian Church in Hollywood, California. Those are the two most famous, chaplains, and I think both of them were chaplains to the Senate. But currently, I'm not even sure who's there.
No, and so on the one hand, they ought to be nondescript. They shouldn't be big public figures. But what happens, and there are also famous stories about chaplains in the military and other public chaplains in various offices of American government, some of them do outstanding jobs and live extraordinary lives and you know, rise above the occasion, shall we say. But the main objective here is to serve their flock, in this case members of Congress, and help them appropriately open their business. And in doing their business, point them towards something above themselves, which is why we want the chaplain there, right? To encourage, to give them the proper moderation and the proper understanding of higher things as they're legislating. It's the same reason why in the Supreme Court, when you enter the Supreme Court chamber, you look above your head, all around it, it's famous lawgivers, and one of the key ones there is Moses.
Yep.
Right, I mean, there are these symbols around. Why? It's not because somehow this is a sign that America is officially a Christian nation in some formal sense, but it is a recognition that this nation, just read the Declaration of Independence, recognizes that we are equal, but we're equal in the eyes of something else, in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of in light of this divine providence above us. There's something higher than us that gives us that humble equality that's necessary for the rule of law. And I think that's everywhere in our nation, throughout, and to expunge that based on a overreading of the separation of church and state, I think not only is bad constitutional law, but also dangerous and problematic in terms of a republic, which really requires us to be cognizant of our humanity and that we are not above it. We are not gods.
Yep.
We're not those who can do whatever we want. There are limits. And I like the idea of reminding Congress, especially lawmakers, judges,
yep.
presidents,
yep.
that they're not, and that there's somebody else, you know, there's something else out there that's above them.
And this is one nation under God. All right, Dr. Matt Spaulding, thanks so much for joining us. Hillsdale.edu for more information. All the best.
As always, great to be with you.
You
All
too.
Right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.